this morning, when I was out in the foyer, one of the deacons told me, a guy approached him and said, I thought the new pastor's going to be here today.
Alex tries to
said, touch no, there's an emergency. He didn't make it, but Dalton is here, and he's going to preach it.
Alex starts to get yellow.
Yeah, I like him. But he's hard to understand with that accent. Well, I want to clarify this morning. Don't take my dialect on accent. This is a dialect. No accent. You guys got that straight? All these lights are bright. I'm going to be burned up by the time I'm done. Let me get some things here going. Then I can get started. My subject is, what difference does it make? You might remember maybe a couple of years ago, something happened in Benghazi. You remember? Watched the news. And one of our leading politicians was being questioned about it. And this is what she had to say. What difference does it make? There was 4 lives taken. 4 American people had died. 4 families that were shattered. And it didn't seem to make a difference. Somewhere some bad choices was made. And something terrible happened. And it shouldn't make no difference. But should it? You know, we get this, it's like a little devotion that the head elder Jerry sends to us every Monday for the elder. And as I was reading this week, Jerry referred to Christians, and he said, Christianity is not about what you do, but who you know. And who should Christians know? Jesus. When you know Jesus, does it affect or influence the things that you do? Yes, I hope so. And it should affect you positively, right? Yes. Now, I'm going to tell you something this morning. About 2 weeks ago, there was a lady here talking about our children. Did you remember when you all were here? Did you see those statistics? I was blown away. Did he touch you? I was shocked about our children. What could be going wrong? And you know, one of the first things, the biggest thing, was about science, that the most of them are leaving the church. What does science have to do with anything? What do you think it pertains to, this science that's driving our children away? You know the 3 angels' message? Fear God and give glory, for the hour of judgment is come. Worship him that made the heavens and the earth, the sea, the springs of water, everything, in other words. But what are you getting from science? What do you think? About God creating this earth with no help? Or something else? They're getting shoved down with this evolution. God is not that great. There's some other power. And our kids are getting fed that kind of stuff. And I'll ask you this morning, I want you to think about what I'm saying. You might disagree, and that's okay. But think about some of the things that I'm going to say this morning. Really think about it. Are we as parents laying a sure foundation for our kids at home? Are we doing what we're supposed to do? The Bible says for us to raise our kids in the way of the Lord. And when they grow older, they will not depart. That's a promise to you and I. But there's a condition. We have to raise them in the Lord. You cannot take children and tell them one thing and you do something else in the house. That don't work. that does not work. We teach by example. These kids today are too smart, brothers and sisters. The parents would have to drink muddy water to keep them from seeing through you. You can't pull nothing on them. Don't even go there. If you're going to tell them how to live, you better be ready to live that way. Have maybe, just maybe, we've lost track of who we are as a people. I want to ask you another question. In the home is where the children are raised, right? To fear the Lord. And our first obligation to our children is to teach them about Jesus and salvation. Now, our schools is an extension of our family at home, is it not? Every one of our schools should be an extension of our families at home, and also the church should be an extension. Now, if I'm teaching my child one thing at home about the Lord and how we should live to please Jesus, and they go to school and they talk something else, is there a problem? Yes. We have to be on the same page, because we'll confuse our children. And then, if they get on the internet, you talk about confusion. I thought computers was bad until smartphones came along. Now all our kids, glue, walking computers, and being filled with every piece of trash that there is out there. Look, I'm gonna tell you something, and I don't want to knock on school. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, pure Seventh-day Adventist, from my toes to my head, everybody, and I love the Adventist message. But I don't like the compromise that we see going on in the Adventist system anymore. I love change if it will do us good, and it is for the good. But I don't like change just for change's sake, okay? Can I get an amen there? Yeah. If it's going to take us to a high plane with Jesus, bring the change on. I don't care if my car is not made any longer out of solid iron. If the plastic car is better, give me the plastic. Give me the plastic. Those changes I love. If they're cheaper, bring it on. Better yet. But not change, but just change. Again, our children. Another thing was a big thing. They felt too restricted. Since I got married, brother and sister, I've been restricted. But that don't make me pack up my stuff and go. I'm going to stay there where I already know I'm comfortable. I've already learned to be submissive. I'm not going nowhere. There's no such thing as too many rules. If the kids don't like the rules, take them and put them in boot camp. Put them in boot camp. They'll come back to mom and dad. Oh, please, go talk to the congressman. Get me out of here. We have compromised a whole lot. In the last few years, we have been over backwards for our children, have we not? And maybe too many times we have caused a separation. We want to put the kids in one corner and the adults in one corner. Should it be that way? No. No, we're all God's children. In Malachi 4, it says at the end time, the father's heart will be turned to the children and the children's heart to the father. There's no time right now for generation gaps. No time for generation gaps. I like to think my children can worship the same way I do in my church. Kids have their thing. We have Sabbath schools, right? They get that far. But when we come in the house of God for worship, that's what we do. It's about God. It's not about me. It's not about my kids. Let me tell you something. When I was up north, I knew a family, a dear friend of all, and they had five kids. I had three girls. Lord never blessed me with a boy. I think about that a lot. Maybe you want to stop my kill off that family line. But let me take it however you want. Anyhow, you know, they used to come over to our house, and they were girls, and they could get into so much for girls. And I told my wife, why don't they contain these kids? My wife said, don't say nothing. Don't say nothing. I said, well, I'm not going to say it loud enough for you. I'm just talking to you because, you know me. I mean, I love them little. I ran and break everything in my house. And so I'm sitting down with the dad one day in the backyard, and he asked me, turned to me and said, hey, Lord, I want to ask you something. He said, how come your girls are so quiet and you put them sitting somewhere and they don't move? I said, I don't know. He said, no. I said, I'd like to know. I said, well, I've told them from little on up, when mom and dad tell you something, listen and do. Don't question. If I tell you black is black, it's black. Even if it's white, don't question mom and dad. But anyhow, let me tell you something. The kid told me one time. I said, hey, you can't do this. They were just tearing up my house terribly, and I had to remove all the knickknacks on the table. My girls never touched that stuff because they knew, oh, look, that's mama's house. Well, papa, but people don't pop the children on. Maybe that's our problem. Spare the rods for the child, the Bible says. But anyhow, the little kid, I said, hey, wouldn't your parents thank you for that? No. They don't believe in corporal punishment. I said, I believe in capital punishment. But they said, but let me tell you something. The results of that, not one of them is in the church today. Not one out of five. They all left the church. Lack of discipline. Now, I'm not telling you to go home and find yourself a big stick and jump on the children. Don't look at me wrong. I'm not doing that. And I like to believe I was a loving parent. I think my girls would tell you I was. But our children today, we have a problem. We have a problem. And we... our biggest solution, I think, is to get back to the basics. Amen. What God has given us from the beginning. Not trying to always change everything. It ain't working. It's not working. And that stuff really made me feel terribly bad when I saw the numbers on the board. And I thought so much. If a child will feel restricted in their own home and not realize the love of their parents trying to protect them, what kind of picture are we giving to our children? Would you imagine what it would be like for you if God did not give you a standard for life, a guideline? If he didn't have one, you'd continue being a devil. You wouldn't repent. There's a standard that God expects from his children. He expects us to follow that standard. And discipline don't mean you don't love your kids. It's when you don't discipline proves you don't love them. In my home, my mama couldn't wait to see us hit that door. We were seven. She said, get out. I don't care where you go. Just give me some relief. Didn't care if my parents have respect for you. They might not even agree with the way you live, but they'll say one thing. My mom, my dad, they stand up for what they believe. They're like a tree by wall, thou shalt not move, huh? We have to be strong, brothers, if our children is going to make it. And don't give up hope. If your child has left the home and left the church, don't give up hope. Keep living for Jesus. You might be called for that, so what? You've been called worse things than that. Right? Stand up for Jesus. Live for Jesus. My kids today, they're all married. They got kids. And I've heard them say a lot of times, Dad, I can remember what you said to us way back then. And you know what? You were so right. You know why? They got kids. Sometimes that's what it takes. But look, if you didn't teach them that, what would they have to come back to? Nothing. Do what you want. It don't make no difference. You know, Pastor Bob talked to us about the faith last couple weeks. Abraham, I want to propose something to you here. You know, Abraham was called a father of faith. And you remember when God asked to go to a land, he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know nothing about where he was going. So he had to make a choice. And that choice he made was going to make a difference, wasn't it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, God told him to go get his stuff, pack up his stuff, and he's going to take it to a place which he don't know where he's going, but I'm going to take it to a place. I want you to go to this place. Now, what if Abraham would have told God, oh, yeah, God, oh, yes, I can't wait to see that new place. I'm going home and pack right now. I'm going to get all my stuff and I'm going. Just hang up there. Just wait for me. I'm coming. But Abraham didn't come. And he didn't go. Would Abraham still be the father of faith? Would it have made a difference? What made the difference for Abraham? That his faith was counted righteous. He obeyed. He obeyed the call of God. He didn't just say, God, I have faith in you. He said, what do you want me to do? And when he did it, it proved his faith. Amen. Faith always manifests itself in works, in righteousness. That's genuine faith, motivated by love. And because Abraham knew he could trust God, he knew no problem packing up and leaving. And he did. And that's how we have to become. We have to become like God says it, we do it. Period. It might hurt, but that's all right. We're now facing an unusual time in which those on the inside of the church are questioning our doctrines, teachings, and more than the ones that despise us on the outside. Isn't that sad? People on the inside. That's supposed to be for us. And many are walking away from the mandate that God gave us. But we ought to preach the message and all of it. Huh? I could stand up here and just preach on how much God loves you. But I don't think you have a problem with that, do you? We all know God loves us. We see through Jesus on the cross. We don't have to even be convinced of that. We know God loves us. But how are we going to respond to that love? That's the question. Does it make a difference in our lives what God has done for us? There's a fellow named George Whistle in the Washington Magazine says, the churches that make the greatest doctrinal and moral demands on their members are growing. Growing. These churches are booming. The ones that demand more. You know, at one time, Adventists demanded, most people didn't want to have nothing to do with Adventists. They saw an Adventist come, they'd go the other way. Because these people here just want too much. They want to take too much from you. You know, I'm not giving up my pork chops. I'm not. death since the 1960s. Die. They make no demands on their members. Oh, just come and do whatever you want. Is that the kind of God we serve? No, Jesus just says, come as you are for salvation. But I got plans for you, brother. Not to harm you, but to prosper you. And to move out of that state that has made you a miserable creature. We've been studying in Sabbath school class about the outcast and about all these different situations. Jesus is the only one that can change all that. Paul said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. The preaching of the word, even with love, tact, and diplomacy, will inevitably cause confrontation with one sinful carnal nature, or with our own sinful carnal nature. We are not called to make the gospel popular, but to preach it with power. Preach it with power. We're living in the last days, brothers and sisters. We don't have time to dilly-dally with all these little things. We need to get down to business, or we'll wind up being like the five foolish virgins, knocking, and there's no answer. I want to read you from Ezekiel 33, 6, 7. And I feel that each one of us here are watching for one. And I feel that more so for myself because I'm an elder in the church. I'm an elder in this church. You know what an elder is? Huh? He's an overseer of the flock. He's like a shepherd to care for the flock. Says, but if the watcher sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require of the watchman's hand. You heard that? We need to give the trumpet a certain sound, brothers and sisters. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall bear a word from my mouth and warn them from me. God says we have to warn the people, tell them what the problems are. Now I want to get into I'm almost done. Y'all gonna throw me out or what? No. But anyhow, I was working my way to the apostles. They had Jordan and patriarchs and prophet. You remember when they had gotten the victory of the Israelites and they got down by the Jordan, and across there was the promised land. When they had finally got there, Moses was busy preparing, although he wasn't going into the promised land. He was preparing for his people to enter. They got there and they were looking around and they saw the beautiful things. Things were very pleasing to them, and they got very, very relaxed, you know, inactive. And guess what happened? The very thing that God had warned them to be careful about. In this case, the women from the other nations, heathen women, came over, and guess what? Started infiltrating. And then, of course, what do you think happened next? It's going to do what the other nations were doing. They got caught up into them. They were just under. And the sad part is Moses at first didn't even notice. He didn't even notice what was going on. Can you believe that? Moses didn't even notice what was going on. But in patriarch, the prophet says it was by associating with idolaters and joining in their festivities that the Hebrews were led to transgress God's law and bring his judgments upon the nation. So it is now, by leading the followers of Christ, associated with ungodly and united in their amusements, that Satan is most successful in alluring them into sin. Brothers and sisters, God has called you and I out. He said, come out and be separate, and be not partakers of a sin. Sometimes it's very hard to distinguish anymore Seventh-day Adventists from the rest of the world. That's a sad statement. The Spirit of Prophecy said that's all important. Okay? Have we made it? Trying to reach souls have went too far over the line. God never told us to compromise our principles to bring souls to heaven. Never. God made it very clear. He was for all the foreigners, the outsiders, only if they were willing to come in to the Israelites' camp and become one like them. In other words, they'd be converted over to the Israelites, not the Israelites converted over to them. And Jesus said to each one of us, because we're all disciples, aren't we not? He says, go out and teach and baptize all the things that I have commanded you. What was the first? He said, teach everything that I commanded you. He didn't say, go out there, tell them Jesus loves you, come on, and we'll baptize you today. And then you can learn on your own. Hey, we got, this is the Bible, you ever hear that? You can start reading that and you'll learn everything you need to know about Jesus and salvation. No, he said, teach them. Teach them. Make sure that they know what they're getting into. That's nothing worse than you being deceived and thinking you're getting into something that you're not getting into. You need to know. I'll never forget the two old ladies that brought me into the Adventist church. Brother, they crossed every T and every they dotted every I. They wanted to make sure I knew what they were talking about. They went over it more than one time. I was like to my wife, when are we going to get into the water? When does the water come? She said, you ain't ready for the water. Yes. And I loved them ladies. I just admired how staunch they was and what they believed and how they lived. And they went over everything that the Seventh-day Adventists believe and teach. And then they asked, are you willing to accept it? Well, of course, you know, they taught me from the Bible. This is what the Word of God teaches. So what am I going to say? I could have said it. Well, not willing. She said, well, go ahead and let the church down the road. Go join them. But not until I said, I understand what you're teaching me. I understand what I'm asked to do. And I'm willing to make a covenant with Jesus Christ that I will fulfill his wishes. Now, not everything went hunky-dory. There was some stumbling, some, you know, after all, I was one of the children we're talking about. But I never gave up. I never gave up. And I'm still the same Adventist I was back then. I love everything about Adventism. It's the truth. We're the remnant people. We have a solemn responsibility. And if we don't live what we believe, you ain't bringing nobody to Christ that will stay here. They won't stay. They'll come, but they won't stay. They'll leave. Instead of just believing, we need to start living. We need to start living.
Amen.
Even if it hurts, brother. Because you know it's going to hurt. It's going to be painful. Because we're so embedded with that carnal nature, it's very difficult for us to give in to the divine nature. But Jesus is working hard on you and I. All we got to do is submit. In Patriarchs and Prophets, she tells, every polluted thing that you allow your eyes to look at, your ears to listen to, your mouth to speak to people has an influence on your choices and your life. And too many of us, brothers and sisters, are watching just any kind of stuff. Everywhere you look, vice, vile things are happening. We're getting desensitized to the will of God. That's why it's so difficult for us. We think we can't do without the Word. We've got to have their little trinkets and everything else that goes with it. Concerts. Since when a Christian goes to concerts? What kind of music is being played there? Would you want to be there if Jesus was to come? Would you want to die at a concert hall? Listen to somebody rocking away? I would. The Spirit of Prophecy said you wouldn't want to be there. We need to make some decided changes
for the Lord. That's why Elijah said, make your decision today whom you will serve. How long will you halt between two opinions? If you're going to worship God, Jehovah, come into the church and honor him. If not, don't come.
I'm going to ask you something. Do you believe there's wheat and tares here? Huh? Do you know which one is which? Don't know. We don't know. But the Bible says the wheat and the tares will grow together. Who is getting up a hand? What am I? Am I wheat? Am I tares? Each one needs to examine himself. I don't know nobody's personal life here. So if I struck a chord or something, don't think, he's that dressing scene. I'm not addressing nobody. I'm talking about we as a people. I think we need to think some of these things out and return to basics. Simple living. Where Jesus is the first and the last and the best of everything in our lives. But anyhow, I'd like you to go home and read. In Patriarchs and Prophets, Apostle of the Jordan. Read that whole chapter, very short, and see how God's people started to slip and what happened and just how far down they went. And for you parents that have kids, if you don't have child guidance, the book Child Guidance, I would recommend that you get that book and read it. Apostasy at the Jordan. At the Jordan, yeah. Apostasy at the Jordan. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Those were God's people back then. We are God's people today. Does the human nature change? No. No. The only thing that makes us different is the divine nature. Jesus. When we are united with Jesus and we follow the divine nature, our whole lives will change. Our whole lives will change. My prayer this morning, brothers, is that we make a difference. Not what difference does it make, but how much of a difference can we make as God's children? Let us pray. Loving Father, again, I'm so thankful, Lord, for the truth that I